All right, let's pray. We'll ask the Lord to help us with our worship time. Dear Lord, we are grateful for your kindness to us and your goodness, Lord. You give us sunshine and breath in our lungs and a place to meet, everything. Lord, everything's from your hand, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the Bible class, Lord, and the work that Michael puts into that, Lord. And something I realize that I've known, but it's a good reminder that everything in life that we need to know is in your word, Lord. Whether you're a dad, a kid, a husband, a wife, it doesn't matter. You have given us everything we need to know in your word, Lord. So I pray that we always go to your Bible for instructions on how to live our lives, Lord. And now I pray, Lord, that you'd help us with our worship time. Lord, let us just quiet our minds down and focus on the words and sing to you because we love you. Meditate on the words as we sing them, Lord, so that we can worship you because you're worthy of our worship, Lord. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So this first song here in the top paragraph, third line down, it says, I have light in my soul for which long I have sought. And it made me think about, you know, sometimes people look for things to fill their soul, right? They need some kind of satisfaction or to be complete. They need to have something or accomplish something to make them feel satisfied. You know, like some people like, oh, I want to be married and have a family. I'll be satisfied if I have that. I long for that. Or I got to have the right career. I want to be a doctor, lawyer, whatever, right? You have this longing to satisfy yourself with that. Or I don't know, maybe you want to save a whale and you'll find satisfaction saving a whale or something, right? So everybody has different things that make them satisfied, right? And I'll admit, like, I would love to have my own hot rod shop to build hot rods. That would bring me some satisfaction, okay? But here's the thing. All these things are just temporary, right? The second you die, they're all gone. They don't satisfy anymore. They're not going to make you complete anymore. They're all gone. And then eternity starts, right? What are you going to do then? Those things are not going to satisfy you in eternity. You can focus on these things while you're here a little bit, right? That it's not like a bad thing to have a good job or have a spouse or, you know, a family. There's nothing wrong with that. But they should be nowhere near as important as longing for the eternal Jesus. That's where we want to keep our focus on. If he's the one that brings light to our soul, he's eternal, we want to focus on him the most.
Thank you.
So if I took popsicle sticks and glued them end to end and made them long enough to go across the Grand Canyon, would you trust that? Would you walk across that? No, it'd be ridiculous, right? No one would trust in that. It's completely ridiculous. But what's more ridiculous than that is trusting in our own righteousness to get to heaven. See, we're supposed to try to be righteous. We're supposed to, right? If we love the Lord, we want to be righteous because we love Him. But that's not what gets us into heaven. It's Jesus' righteousness. Our righteousness is like sinking sand. See in the chorus it says, "On Christ a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." See, any good we do, it's good to do good, but it's canceled out when as soon as you sin one time. It doesn't matter. Once you sin, you've broken the law. See, we have to be perfect, sinless, to get to heaven. So really, what good is our goodness? It's about as reliable as the popsicle stick bridge. That's about how dependable our righteousness is, right? So, if we could be good enough to get to heaven on our own righteousness, then Jesus died on the cross for no reason at all. He did it all for nothing, right? So, we don't want to put our hope in ourself, in our popsicle bridge self. We want to put our hope in the eternal Jesus, the solid rock. The top line of this song says, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou would do." So see, the breath of God isn't like our breath where, you know, it smells like garlic or stinks or whatever. His breath gives life. Remember when he created the world and then he created man, he formed the dirt and he breathed life into the dirt and there was Adam. So God's breath gives us life, okay? And this song says, "Fill me with life anew, that I'll love what you love." Well, I looked up some things that God loves. In Psalm 11:7, it says, "For the Lord is righteous, He loves justice. The upright will see his face. So he loves justice. And it's not this, like, hey, you wronged me, I owe you. It's not that kind of justice. It's the sins that we commit are punished by Jesus, what he did on the cross. They're punished. They're not just swept away under the rug. God doesn't just dismiss sin, but every sin is punished because he's a holy God. So he loves justice. Psalms 146:8. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord loves it when we're trying to be righteous. He loves that. Psalm 103:11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. So see, God loves when we fear him. Not rawr, scary monster fear. It's not that. It's a fear like a child with his dad. I know he loves me, but I'm fearful because I don't want to get a spanking, right? It's that fear, a healthy fear, right? A holy fear to show God honor and reverence, that kind of fear. Another thing God loves, it says in 2 Corinthians, he's the one of you should give what he has decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. See, God gives us everything we have, right? And so he loves it when we cheerfully give back to his causes, his purposes, right? With our money. Proverbs 15:9, just a couple more. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Again, he hates it when we're wicked, but he loves when we're trying to be righteous for him. John 16:27. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. This is Jesus talking. Because you have loved me and believe that I came from God. See, God loves it when you love his Son. One more. Matthew 3:17. And a voice from heaven said, this is God speaking, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So see, God loves his Son, the one he sent. And he loves it when we love his Son. See? Can we love God and not love what he loves? I don't think so. If we love God, we're going to love what he loves. The most important thing he wants us to do is love his Son. So if you feel like you don't love his Son or love him enough, go to God. Say, God, put your life, put your breath on me, fill me with your Spirit so that I can love the things that you love. In this song here, the last paragraph, it says, I'm so glad that he will come for me. So where that comes from in the Bible, I think, at least one of the spots that it could have came from, is in John 14, verses 2 through 4. It says, this is Jesus talking, he says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So Jesus says, I'm going away to a place where my Father has many rooms, and I'm going to come back and get you. Now, Jesus is God, right? The Bible says that he's God. God don't lie. Jesus don't lie. He rose from the dead, so he has power. He has power to rise from the dead. He has power to come back and get us, doesn't he? Is there anything more sure than this? If Jesus makes a promise, is there anything more sure than his promises? No. He's going to come back and get us. If you're a Christian, nothing should make you more glad than he's going to come back and take you home with him. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, that you set us free from sin. Like this song says, we're set free, Lord. We're not in bondage of sin anymore. And you paid for us, Lord. You went to a cross and took all the wrath that we deserve, Lord. You took the punishment that should have been on us, Lord. And you gave your life up for us. You left heaven and you came down here to this sinful place, live a perfect life. You gave your life up for us. You seek after us, Lord. I'm so grateful that you do seek after us, Lord, because we don't seek after you. So we are grateful for that, Lord. Thank you that you look out for us too, Lord. You give us exactly what we need. You take care of us exactly how we need to be taken care of. You give us the days that we need to live. Our days are numbered. You know just what we need, Lord. And Lord, we're so grateful that you're going to come back for us, Lord. You didn't have to do any of this, Lord. Not one thing did you have to do for us. So we are grateful that you do that, Lord. And I just pray today, if somebody sings this song and thinks, I don't get it, it's not for me, that you would show them, Lord, you're a God willing to save sinners. That's why you came. So please, Lord, show somebody today that they can be saved, that they repent, confess with their mouth that they're a sinner, confess you as Lord, want you to run their life, Lord, you will save them. Lord, show that to somebody today, please. And I pray now, Lord, as Dorian brings the message, Lord, that you would help us to understand what we need to know, Lord. You're the great teacher, and we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen.